with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3 down through verse 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, that's full of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Today we shall look at this subject, predestination, blessing or curse. Today we shall look at the great and yet hated doctrine of predestination. When this great truth is even mentioned in today's religious circles, there comes a silence and a settled antagonism against this truth. The majority will not listen, or else will try to dissipate the blessings of this great reality. To deny predestination is to deny the Word of God, and many today are doing that when they are saying we have no creed but Christ and no law but love, and we have no doctrine but love too. And we find that when an individual does this, they don't understand the Word of God, and we need to set forth these great doctrines that are set forth for our learning and for edification. Because when we understand these great things, we find that we can become better and more stalwart believers in these last days. Now, as we study the great doctrines that are set forth in the Word of God, and that's what this series is all about, I hope that you will be honest enough to sit down and listen and follow along in your Bibles. Now, many of you will have preconceived ideas, and we're going to have to dig them away or blast them out, so to speak. And so I want you to learn to listen, if you will, with an open mind. Now, years ago, I didn't know anything about predestination, and as a consequence, because of what somebody had taught me, I didn't believe it either. But how I praise the Lord today that in my study, the Lord God of heaven showed me these great truths that are set forth for us from the Word of God. Now, remember, predestination is found in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and we need to understand what it's all about, so I invite your close attention for this message. And remember, if you want a copy of this message, you let me know. We have it on cassette tape. We don't have it on in the print as yet, and we don't know when exactly we're going to print them, because we found out that cassette tape does the job just as well and much simpler, and of course it's much less expensive. Now get your Bibles down and follow with me. We find in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1 we read, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, there are two meanings to the word predestination. The original language, the Greek in which the New Testament was written, it comes from the word prorizo, which means to predetermine. It means to decide beforehand. It also means to foreordain. In the New Testament, it is God decreeing from eternity to obtain such a thing. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4, verse 9 and verse 11, we see this set forth. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of him, of his will. Now, here we find predestinate means to predetermine, it means to decide beforehand, and it means also to foreordain. Mr. Webster says, predestinate means to decree beforehand by divine decree. Now, the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1609, and many of you didn't even realize that Baptists had a Confession of Faith way back there, but they did. This is what it says about predestination. By the decree of God, for the manifestation of his glory, Some men and angels are predestinated or foreordained to eternal life through Jesus Christ, to the praise of his glorious grace, others being left to act in their sin, to their just condemnation, to the praise of his glorious justice. These angels and men, thus predestinated and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their numbers so certain and definite that can be either increased or diminished. Now, predestination is found in the following scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21, in Matthew 25 verse 41, in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 5 and 6, in Romans chapter 9 verses 22 and 3, and then again in Ephesians 1, 4, 9, and 11, and Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, and John chapter 13 and verse 18, you find all the mention of predestination, and yet it's found in many other passages of Scripture. Now, as we set forth the meaning of the term predestination, it means to decree beforehand by divine decree. And we find that by the decree of God for the manifestation of his glory, some men and angels are predestinated or foreordained to eternal life through Jesus Christ, others being left to act in their sin to their just condemnation to the praise of his glorious justice. These angels and men, thus predestinated and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their number so certain and definite that it cannot be either increased or diminished. And beloved, how true that it is. Now, as we look at the Word of God and we see the meaning of predestination, the logical things that comes to us is this. What is it that is predestinated by the Lord God of heaven? Well, first of all, we find it's the death of Christ for his elect sinners. Now, hold your seat and listen. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the elect of God. His death was predestinated, and we find that God planned it from before the foundation of the world, and see, it was manifested in our last times, in these last times, for us. And the death of Christ for his elect sinners was predetermined by the counsel of God. In 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20, we read, "Forasmuch as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained or predestinated before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was predetermined by the counsel of God. In Revelation chapter 13, we find that the Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, predestination not only predetermined the death of Christ for his elect sinners, but predestination also particularly carried out this work at the cross. You see, when my Lord was sentenced to die on the cross, mankind was carrying out the predestinated will of the Lord God of heaven. And we find that the death of Christ was perfectly manifested in his resurrection. Our Lord Jesus not only died, but he was buried, and he arose again for our justification. Satan and mankind tried to stop the resurrection, but it was predestinated by God, and beloved, rest assured of one thing, it came to pass. Now, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is particularly applied to the hearts of God's elect. Remember the Apostle Paul? Paul was one of God's elect sinners, and Paul said very clearly in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, these words, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Now, what is it that's predestinated? The death of Christ for his elect sinners, predetermined by the counsel of God, particularly carried out at the cross, perfectly manifested in his resurrection, and particularly applied to the hearts of God's elect. Therefore, if you're saved here today, if you've been saved because it was God's predestinated plan that you were to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the death of Christ, his burial and his resurrection for you, was applied particularly to you by the power of God. Now there's a second thing that's been predestinated. And we find it's the predestination of Israel to the stage of human history. Turn back quickly, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 36. And we find in Ezekiel chapter 36, and beginning with verse 16, you have here the coming back of the nation of Israel into the land of Palestine. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way, and by their doings their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. But then in verse 21, we read these words, But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my own holy name's, my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the nations whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, and gather you out of all country, and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Here is God's predestination to the nation of Israel to the stage of human history. Our Lord declared her promise, or her return to the land that was promised her, and that's the land of Palestine, my friend. And no nation, coalition of nations, confederation, or anybody else, including the devil, is going to stop this from coming to pass. It's been predestinated by the Lord God of heaven, and rest assured of one thing, it will take place. Now, Israel today has become the dominant problem of the world at this hour. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, we read, The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And God here is declaring that nobody's going to solve that problem which is in existence right now at the Middle East. It's going to be solved when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. You see, Israel has become one of the dominant problems of the world of this day, but it's all according to God's predestinated plan. Israel is predestinated by God to inherit the land and to be reigned over by the Lord Jesus Christ. And rest assured of one thing, my friend, this shall come to pass. In Luke chapter 1, the Lord God of heaven promised this with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ as he gave the announcement to Mary, who was to become the mother of the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30 we read, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. My friend, today, this is all part of God's predestinated plan. Now remember, the Lord God of heaven has predestinated the death of Christ for the elect of God. He has predestinated also the return and the conversion of the nation of Israel to her land. And then last of all, and right here now, we're going to lose the vast majority of you, the Lord God of heaven has also predestinated the salvation of all of the elect of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we find, Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of His will. Now, what in the world do you have here? You have here the salvation of all of the elect of God. God has an elect people, chosen, named, and foreordained or ordained before the world's foundation. Rest assured of one thing. This number is fixed, absolute, irrevocable. It cannot be added to or diminished from. God in His sovereignty has called this number. He has chosen this number to be saved. And we find very clearly He has ordained that they are going to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the second thing that's predestinated about it is this. This number that God has chosen is known only to God, but they will be called to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14, we have this set forth. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, rest assured of one thing. When these individuals come to a saving knowledge of Christ, they are called through the preaching of the gospel, because it pleases the Lord through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now the distinguishing thing about God's elect is this. They are conferred with repentance and faith through grace. You see, if you're a saved person here today, you've repented before God. If you're a saved person today, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where did that repentance and faith come from? Well, I'll tell you. It was conferred upon you through the Lord God of heaven. And we see that this is set forth very clearly. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, the Gentiles rejoiced and they praised God, or the Jews rejoiced, I should say, and praised God, and said, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And we find in that repentance comes, and then grace, and through grace, I should say, and grace gives faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now this makes salvation all of grace and all of God. Now many of you today, you'll jump up and shout and you'll say, oh yes, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you really? Or did the Lord Jesus accept you? If you've never stood before God as a lost sinner, my friend, rest assured of one thing. You're going to stand before Him one day as a lost sinner, either in this life or in the life to come. If my Lord never deals with you, rest assured of one thing. You'll never come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But the only way you can to come to Christ is when God begins to deal with you. And the reason, and if today this message is stirring up your heart, rest assured of one thing. You ought to praise God for it. It's designed to make you think and make you realize, because today the average majority have humanized the Lord God of heaven instead of exalted Him. And rest assured of one thing, predestination exalts the Lord God of heaven. Now let me ask you a question in this closing moment. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, have you stood before God as a lost sinner? Has He granted unto you the faith to believe? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go back and find out if the Lord God of heaven has ever dealt with you, and my hope is that He will, even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.
I'll love him, my soul.